Tuesday, April 9th, 2019, 5:30, call to order the Board of Fire Commissioners of the Kootenai Fire District. Present, Commissioner Pisano.
Commissioner Zais.
Chief Rudin.
Commissioner Conley will not be attending tonight. He is away. The meeting is being recorded by Amy Cates as well as by our transcription. Public comment. No public comment. Review and approval of previous minutes. I have had a copy of the March minutes to review. They seem in order to me.
I read them this afternoon. They're
move we accept them as printed.
So moved.
In favor, Pisano.
Zais.
And 4-9. Chief.
Thank you.
First order in the chief's report is monthly activities.
Monthly activities, so responses for last month were 54 total responses for March, 39 medicals, one hazardous condition, which was a lightning strike without ignition, and 14 service good intent false alarm calls. Administration. We talked before about the customer survey service that Pro EMS provides to us. In the monthly notes online, I provided a blank copy of that monthly survey and the newest survey report, which showed actually extremely good reports or
I saw them.
Grades for our staff. Our staff is doing very well. The public is very happy with them, and their grades are far above what they consider a baseline.
Could you?
They're all mostly in the 90s.
Could you tell me of the 15 responses in that period that contributed to this survey, do you know how many actual service calls that encompass? I'm just wondering what kind of rate of return we're getting.
I don't. So this report is for a two-month period, so 2 months at, how many medical calls do we do a year? 500, 600, 600, right? So 600, so it's 50 a month, so that's could be 100. Yeah. So we're getting about a 15% rate, 7% rate of return. Mm-hmm. Not huge.
Mm-hmm. I was afraid of that. I was just curious if there's anything comes to mind about how we might increase that rate of return.
Good
money.
Question.
Hmm? Money.
Money. Oh, there you go.
I once did a marketing campaign where we sent out dollar bills in exchange for something. You know, got a good bump up in return.
I'm sure money would.
This
solve
is back when
problem.
A dollar meant
money
something.
Money solves a lot of problems.
Before you were born, dollar meant something.
We'll take that under advisement for a future meeting.
Okay.
I do not believe we have a warrant for that.
Right.
No, I don't think we've got an article for that. Also, in administration, we're still planning to have a community coffee at the fire station. We don't have a date to start that, but it should be announced within the next month. We'll come up with a date and when we want to start doing that. So that'll hopefully start soon.
Well, April is rolling along until the and May is a pretty busy month.
Yes.
With town meetings, so I would assume we could shoot for June.
It might shoot for June. We were hoping to start it earlier with the addition plans, talk, discussion, but we'll see how that goes. More than likely, it'll probably slip till June. So we want to be able to have enough advertisement, have enough notice, so fast people actually show up. So there's no sense having a coffee if no one shows up but one or two of us.
Although, you know, you mentioned with the item for the office projects, it might be a useful time in May to have an open house and people.
It might be, yeah.
Depending on
all that project, how that goes, there might be one anyway. So we can combine an open house with a coffee or something at the same time. Training. Barnesville Police is sponsoring a joint training class, Terrorism at Schools and Critical Incident Stress. That's April 22nd. Got, I don't remember exactly, I think five or six of our personnel signed up to go to that. And then there's a DHS. Actually, it's National Center for Biomedical Research and Training. It's basically Department of Homeland Security is putting on a active threat integrated response course, combined police fire, at Centerville Fire Station in May that I'm going to go to. And both of those brochures are included in the package.
Right.
Pro EMS, the March report's attached. We're still way up compared to what we were at ComStar. I think we're 40% up. What's next? Personnel.
Personnel.
Yeah, personnel. So there's an SOG attached to the package for call EMTs. The SOG is for response, standby to the station.
Right.
So we took the SOG for full-time personnel and added a section for call personnel.
Right.
So what the proposal is to have first call, second call. And this mimics what comm dispatch does for comm, trying to keep it as close as we can. If we have different policies for us and for them, it just causes confusion. So what they would do is first call would be for full-time personnel only, and then if after 5 minutes they don't get at least three full-time personnel standby, they'll go a second call, and the second call would be open to full-time and call personnel. So that's the proposal for that.
I read it, and I thought that it served the concerns that we had addressed previously.
Mm-hmm.
So we want at least three personnel at the station ready for the next call, is the idea. And
mm-hmm.
if we get three personnel, they can do everything and are the highly trained people, then that's great. Then we really don't have an immediate demand for more. If we don't, then the call personnel will come in and fill in as needed. And there's going to be enough opportunity that many of our calls don't have a three-person response from full-time. So there's going to be plenty of calls that are available to call personnel. So
plenty meaning out of 100?
No, probably if you took every call for standby over the year, my guess is probably 30 to 40% of the calls aren't filled with three people, and they'll be available to call people. And one of the concerns of the commissioners was the cost. So the call people are less money than full-time personnel, so there's not an increased cost here.
Right. But we would anticipate in the first year that this might apply to 30 or 40 occasions.
I don't know how many standbys are over the year. We do almost 900 calls a year. Of those, I don't have the number in front of me, how many are required standby. Probably a good 3/4 of them, so call it 700 a year. And maybe 40% of those, say, three or four.
Significantly more than I was.
Yeah, a fair amount we'll be able to be available for call personnel.
It would be helpful, and I'll take it upon myself to come find some time with you. I'd love to understand more of, this is, falls into the requirements for this, that. I'd like to get a little more familiar as to what calls require what.
Absolutely. And this guideline actually spells out what calls require standby.
Mm-hmm.
It basically says whenever the crew is committed for 20 minutes or more and not able to respond to a subsequent call. So, and that's the same definition that COM uses, so it makes it easy for the dispatchers to figure it out.
Is there a filter of what type of call besides just the timing?
It could be any type of call. I mean, it could be a fire call that's required. It could be a motor vehicle accident. It could be a medical call. It could be almost anything. Even a simple call for service could tie a crew up for an extended period of time that they weren't able to break free for something else.
Right.
They could have a call that turns into a no transport, but it's with minors, and they can't release them until their parents show up, and they can't leave. So.
Okay.
So we have a 2-week comment period.
We put all guidelines up for 2-week comment period. I haven't received any
comments
from anybody else yet. I mean, I think I just put it out on the 8th. That was yesterday,
yep.
Right? So
so that we would review again in May after the comment period.
My intention was to sign it off in 2 weeks, as long as we didn't receive any severely negative comments.
Well, I only mean that you would alert us to that.
Alert us to next month that it's been signed off and if there's been any comments and what they were. So I right. don't anticipate any real controversy over it.
Good.
I'll just call you in a couple of weeks.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Just come on any time and I'll explain it in more detail to you. Career development.
No, but I was just thinking more about the logistics of finding out if there were any comments. You worry about what you're doing. I'll remember to to call you.
Okay.
See if there were any comments.
Sounds good. Career development. We're looking to schedule something in the next month or two to start bringing everybody in one at a time to go over career development plans and put things in writing for people so we understand where people are focused and where our training dollars are best spent. So that'll be going on very shortly here. Appointment of new call EMT. So we did have, Chris Gardner is currently our own call. Well, Chris Gardner and Chris Dolly are only call people. Chris has been hired by Mashpee Fire and expected to leave us shortly. Chris has worked out so well that we had another person in a similar situation that's in paramedic school that we're looking at maybe doing the same thing, using it as an educational training opportunity to bring people up to speed. At the same time, we get some assistance from people while we're training them. So I think it's a win-win at a very low cost to us. So we had one person come in this week. We'll have them fill in an application package, and I may next month bring that to you with a little better plan and a proposal to probably bring some more on. So
when does his appointment over at Mashpee start?
They're waiting on a physical agility test through the state, so I'm not sure when that's been scheduled, but as soon as he passes that, he's passed every other test they have, probably the next week or two to 3 weeks, I think. Mm-hmm. Lieutenant McNamara has volunteered to help out with the new call department, so we'll be working with him to help make that happen.
Very good.
Thanks, Lou.
Apparatus.
Before we go into apparatus, could we back up to administration and just give us an update on the status of Cape and Island CMS?
Okay, I had that under other. Okay, so Cape and Islands EMS. Cape and Islands EMS has been around since before I got involved in the fire service. They used to do paramedic training programs, which they let go years ago. There's been a lot of transition in staff for them over the last couple of years. They did our quality control, QA, QI, for all our calls. Actually, they still do it. When we signed with ProEMS, they provide the QA, QI at no additional cost. So they started that service for us, which was a duplication of what we had at the Cape and Islands EMS. We found that what we were getting out of ProEMS far exceeded the quality control we were getting out of Cape and Islands.
And that was our vote to terminate the contract as of July 1, is that right?
Yeah, we discussed this last month, I think, right. And we decided that as of that time, we didn't see any need to continue the contract with Cape and Islands EMS. Our current contract was $3,750 per year, and there was potential of several towns dropping out of Cape and Islands EMS, which had the potential to raise that price. And we didn't need them for quality control or for much else of what we believe for our medical services we provide. So there's been some discussion with Cape and Islands EMS. They claim we couldn't terminate a contract with them because we were legally required to have two sets of QA, QI. They also claimed that the hospital utilized them for QA, QI, and we were required to pay for the hospital service. And they also had a claim that our new recertification program through ProEMS for paramedics didn't meet state standards. So we've talked to the Office of Emergency Medical Services in Boston. Our training program through ProEMS does meet standards. There is no state requirement for two sets of quality control. We've also discussed this with our medical director, which is Dr. Bemis at Falmouth Hospital. that's where it gets a little complicated. He's our medical director, but he works for Cape and Islands, Cape Cod Health, Cape Cod Hospital, Cape Cod Health Care. Thanks. Cape Cod Health Care is, he believes, requiring the services of Cape and Islands EMS. So there's a meeting coming up with Cape and Islands EMS and the fire chiefs on the 16th of this month to discuss what services they provide, what costs they are going to charge. And the question is, maybe Cape Cod Healthcare will require us, or require us to continue affiliation with Cape Islands EMS if we want to use them for an AMHD, a affiliate hospital medical director. They may not give us a choice. We thought we had an option to go with Beth Israel Plymouth, who has offered free service to Bourne and Sandwich. Beth Israel said we don't bring patients there, and they don't think that's a good idea. So they're not at this point willing to take us on as a medical director. We could find someone in Boston, but we're going to pay in someone else, and it may be more than we're paying Cape and Islands. Cape Cod Healthcare has found out that there's this discussion going on with the local fire departments. They were surprised. Communication hasn't been great with the hospital. So when they found this out, they threw a whole bunch of money at it and decided they're going to pay, right off the bat, they're going to pay for a third of the cost for Cape and Islands EMS. It's all very complicated.
I'm having trouble unpacking all that.
So it's all up in the air. We don't know what Cape and Islands EMS is going to charge for services. They can't explain how they came up with the fees in the past. Their formulas are nonsense. They make no sense whatsoever. They don't follow any math rationale at all. There's the possibility that Cape Cod Hospital would pay at least a third, if not more, of the cost of the service. And there's a possibility that Cape Cod Hospital will require us to use them if we want to keep them for medical director.
But we'll know more after this meeting.
We'll know more after the 16th.
Okay.
So we have a current contract with
through July 1st with Cape and Islands EMS.
Yeah.
We've also got a contract with Cape Cod Healthcare to provide a medical director through September 1st. But they could choose to withdraw from that after September 1st and say, we need these services from Cape and Islands to provide EMS oversight. And we're not willing to do it without their assistance. And if you're not willing to pay them, we're not willing to keep you. We're kind of in the same boat with Bourne and Sandwich. So right now we've got bargaining power because we've got three of us that are saying, hey, what services do you provide? What are you going to charge us for it? You need to make this reasonable. But if Sandwich and Bourne say see you later and they go off on their own to Plymouth, then we're kind of left. And we don't do a whole lot of calls, and our bargaining power is much lower than everybody else's. So,
what alignment, if any, do we have with the other districts in the town of Barnstable?
They're all in similar positions. They are concerned about the cost of the service that Cape and Islands provides.
Do the other four districts have Cape and Islands? Or
they do. Everybody in the Cape uses Cape and Islands EMS. The other districts don't have the quality control done through, I think Hyannis may have it done now, but no one else has the training done through them as of yet. They're all looking into it, but we're ahead of the curve. So we already have our training recertification and our quality control covered. So we have very little need for Cape and Islands EMS unless Cape Cod Hospital forces us to keep them. The other departments still haven't found solutions. Their union contracts may make it complicated for them to switch over to a new training model. And procurement laws make it harder for them to switch billing companies quickly. So we're in a position where we don't need them much anymore. Every other department at Cape Cod is not in that position. So it's extremely complicated.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly where this is going to land. We may be forced to continue paying Cape and Islands EMS or find a medical director in Boston who doesn't see our patients who might charge us more money.
In the interest of time,
yeah,
we'll take this offline to learn more.
Yes, and like I said, we'll have more information on the 16th, so
okay.
So we'll pick it up on
Shane
the main
Clark
meeting.
Has been helping
yeah.
quite a bit with this, and
so the 16th is a meeting.
April 16th is a meeting at Comm Fire between Cape and Islands EMS, local fire chiefs, and I think Cape Cod Hospital. The CEO of Cape Cod Hospital is now involved in this conversation, so we've got his
local
attention.
Local fire chiefs of
Cape Barstow County fire chiefs.
Oh, well, Barstow County. Okay.
Yes, yeah, so it's the whole county, all of Cape Cod. It's not just the town of Barnstable.
Okay. So, and is that a closed meeting to the fire chiefs and those bodies?
I believe so, yeah. Yeah, it's not an open public meeting.
Right.
And you wouldn't okay. want to be there. I really don't want to be there either.
Are you kidding? I stick hot pokers in my eyes before.
Yeah,
I
feel like the same way. So.
I was just wondering. I was going to send Cindy if it was open.
Not open.
Okay, we're back to apparatus.
Apparatus. 263, we're still haven't got an answer from Minuteman. They're trying to figure out why the tank supports never got fixed. We found the bill for the services where they fixed the outside cabinets and the corrosion issues. There was no mention.
I thought we were going to re-weld. Weren't we going to re-weld all these things? Or?
Yeah, so
or
they
me.
Knew a long time ago they needed new tank supports and some corrosion issues. They did, and they got an article for $50,000. This is before I got here. They did half of the work. So they fixed the corrosion of the cabinet doors, never fixed the tank supports or some other issues, never used the $50,000. They used operating budget to do it. So we have 50,000 article money available, and the tank supports have to get fixed. Minuteman, as of yet, hasn't been able to figure out why it wasn't done. It wasn't on the quote. No one asked them to do it. We didn't pay for it. We're waiting for quotes back from Minuteman and some other companies to see what it's going to cost. Fortunately, we have the money to fix it. So the tank supports are rotted out, and the tank, the control panel for the pump panel is rotted out too. So we're probably looking $20,000 to $30,000 range to fix it.
Okay. 263 rolling with this?
What's that?
Is it rolling with all?
Yeah, it's actually it's out of service right this second because we also had the battery charger Friday. We're waiting for a new one to come in, so that should be in. Supposed to be in last week. It should be in this week, and we can put it back in service. It's not
to the point of taking it offline.
No, but it will go offline for I don't know, probably a month or two while it works done on it. We had a mechanic look at it. Other than this, the truck's in great shape. Mechanically, engine-wise, it's in great shape.
Right.
So we do this work to it. We're going to get at least 5 years out of it, we're thinking, right?
Yeah. Good. Runs great. Shit falls off it. But
yes, that's pretty much it. Lieutenant McNamara has been working very hard on 266. He's really been putting lots and lots of hours into it. So that's almost ready for launch. Another week or two. Next month we'll have that in the water. So we also reached out to the police department again and made another offer to them to see if they want to share the asset with us. I got an email from them that they're going to look into it. They're going to ask again. So they're reaching out to town government again to see if that will be okay, will be acceptable. So we're hoping that's going to happen.
And the meeting for engineering funds for the dock assessment, that comes up to the town the end of this month?
So, yeah, I believe our town councilor, Jessica Rapp-Gazzetti, has expressed interest to the town manager for funds to expand the town dock for an emergency resource. Town manager has filed an article for $75,000 for engineering and permitting for an expanded town dock. That's coming up on the 23rd?
Sometime in the 20th.
It's the next town council meeting in Barnstable. They will vote, the town councils will vote on that article to spend $75,000 for the new engineering and permitting for an expanded town dock. She said it would be helpful that she had a letter from us expressing our support for that. I wrote a letter.
Yeah, we sent.
I read the draft. Sounds fine to me. I'd be happy to sign it.
Okay.
Yep.
I was hoping to get word back from police department or the harbor master to include that in their letter saying we had agreements for this to be a shared asset. Haven't had anything back yet. get it, that's going to take longer. I've made it known to the police department that the meeting's on this day. It would be better if this was, you know, more of a joint effort, if, right. if we can make that happen. I still don't know if it's going to happen. But that dock is a couple of years out, so it's going to be a while.
Right. In the meanwhile, do we have the contract for the
We lease? Haven't signed a new contract, but I don't expect there to be any problem keeping it right where it was. To my knowledge, it hasn't been sold. I know it's been talked about selling, but I think that's still available.
No, they still own it.
What's that?
They still own it.
Okay, so we should be good to go back there for the year.
Okay, good.
Facilities. We're still working with the Prudential on their proposal for district offices, and there's a meeting with architects tomorrow that we're going to see if we can get some more information and see where that is, but no, nothing new to report there.
Have we gotten any bids on the roof?
No, we haven't gone out to bid for the roof yet. We've been busy with other stuff, and I haven't honestly got to it, so we'll be working on that very shortly, too. We are getting bids on renovating the station. So either way, at some point in time, either way in the next year, we have to start working on the fire station. We've got a kitchen that's falling apart. We need new flooring, new paint, new doors, locks. There's a fairly extensive list. This hasn't, it's been 30 years since there was major work done on the station. Chris Dolly and Lieutenant McNamara are working on getting quotes for, multiple quotes for new kitchen and all the other parts. We don't have any of those quotes back yet. We do have a number from the architect. So the architect said, in general, they, for renovations for an existing facility, they would carry about $270,000 based on our square footage. So their number, if we contracted out with OPMs and everything else as part of a bigger project, would be $270,000. We certainly don't expect the number to be that high. We can do it contracted ourselves, as long as we do it in pieces over multiple years at a much lower rate. So we're waiting to get numbers back on that, but that's where we stand right now.
Right, and just to jump ahead, but on that same item, in old business on the agenda where we're talking about annual meeting warrants, there's two listed, the second one building renovation. I had the treasurer put a placeholder amount of an article for $100,000 for this work.
To attack the kitchen issues. Yeah.
The renovation.
Well, it's multiple. It's the kitchens, the cabinets are rotted out, the flooring's shot throughout the station, paint, doors, locks, and then the new OSHA regulations that require us to ban at the second floor. So we need to create a little more office space or redo some office space downstairs to make at least my office fit downstairs.
Right.
If you had to, not now, but a list of, okay, we have to do boom, 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 you know, things in a row, would, in terms of priority, with money like that,
yes,
would be good for us to kick around, don't you think?
Yeah, I'll have a list to you probably next month with all the quotes we have and what I would consider priority start to finish.
Okay.
Which is why I just had him put a placeholder in for it. Okay.
So that's facilities, right?
The only comment I would make, anything having to do with the facilities as it relates to larger projects, I urge us to let the Space Planning Needs Committee be the leading edge of the wedge.
Yes.
Like at places like the Civic Association meeting. Let them present, in my opinion. That's my opinion. I don't want this to become, a fire thing.
Well, we did meet with the Civic Association Executive Board, and one of the comments that was made is someone called it a fire station, a new fire station. And I tried to relay to them, it's not a new fire station. We're not looking for more square footage for the fire station. It's a solution to district office issues. It's
precisely the problem I want to avoid.
Right.
But the renovations to the station... That's parcel.
It's not lost on me that there are things that need to be done anyway. Mm-hmm. I'm not being a Debbie Downer about that. I just, in terms of how we come across the public, let the space plan, the district space planning committee meetings lead conversations that are around that, and then we'll attack it, you know, from the perspective of, hey, the house needs to be fixed or complied with state or whatever it is. Separate those two things, we'll be way better off, in my opinion. That's all.
So what Prudential is on that?
You know, I don't know, but...
Prudential, Lisa Mycock, and Fran Parks.
Any opportunity to sidestep public comment, I urge you to take it.
Got it. I understand what you're saying.
You know, let's do our thing.
Yep.
Okay.
Got it. Facilities. I've got, we're going to talk about the budget.
Now?
At some point in time. The only other issue you had to discuss with the Cordwood Road, do you want to talk about that now or...
Yes, let's finish that whole section, then we'll get to
Cordwood Road. So, as part of the assessment of the community of forest fire hazards, the county has done some Barnstable County areas of hazard, and one of the areas that's been identified is Eagle Pond area.
Yeah.
Eagle Pond is very thick. Woods, we'd have a hard time sending our breaker through there. The trees are very large, a lot of fuel, and any southwest wind would drive a fire into developments off of Old Post Road.
Cordwood is east of the
cemetery.
Pond?
Yeah. Cordwood's between Kituat Bay Shores and Eagle Pond Conservation, so it runs north to south, approximately.
Yeah, so it's on the other side of the pond from Putnam.
Yeah, it runs all the way to Old Post Road, Cordwood Landing. All the way up.
It's
to
it dead ends or something, isn't it?
No, it goes right through. There's gates at both ends, but it goes from Putnam Ave all the way through to Old Post, the landing there by Cordwood Landing.
Okay, yeah.
It used to be an open road. It's grown in significantly.
I guess that's what I mean.
Yeah, it's now more of a walking path than a road.
Yeah.
We could probably get a breaker down and beat it up a little bit. We wouldn't get anything else down there. It certainly wouldn't stop a fire that was in the area. So we've talked with DCR, the forest warden for Barnstable County. He's also agreed that it would be much better to open it up to get vehicles and provide more of a fire break through there. So we met with him, the town of Barnstable DPW, and Barnstable Land Bank.
It's not a private
Barnstable
road,
Land
is
Trust.
It? It's not a private road, is it?
No, it's a town. Well, I think it's a town road. It's a town named road.
Yeah.
So they were checking with the legal department to make sure that it was okay. Barnstable Land Trust had no problem with us taking trees, opening it up. And the district fire warden, Josh Nigro, said he can get AmeriCorps volunteers to help. So we had a big meeting, walked the road, looking at like the 24th and 26th of April. There's 2 days, we got AmeriCorps volunteers in there, and the town, we're pretty sure, is going to bring in one or two staff with some chippers. So they'll help supervise the chainsaw crews, which are the AmeriCorps, and they'll work on shipping the material up. And that's probably going to happen the end of April. That's what we're looking at.
Good.
Okay.
All right, we're on to old business. We have a draft of the budget. Had many drafts of the budget.
Oh, it's a presentation, not a spreadsheet. Right?
It's a presentation. It's a PowerPoint file. This is the changes that we discussed last month incorporated into it. I believe the changes include a we approved a different salary for the executive assistant, and emergency labor got moved to $25,000 from the previous. I think we had it at 35.
Right.
Other than that, there were no changes in it.
Well, I'm looking at last month's. It looked like it was 25 as well, but
it went back and forth.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe it was 25 in last month. At one point in time, it was 35.
what,
Executive assistant went to $51,000.
Right, okay.
Emergency labor went to 25, and that should have been the only change.
So, how?
Maintenance is zero, and miscellaneous is zero, right?
So the operations budget was zero, zero increases, so zero increase in all the line items in operations, zero increase in maintenance, and zero increase in miscellaneous. So the only change was to salaries and laborers. Most of it was contract-driven. And the total increase for the budget was 3.69%, given the last changes we made.
The last page of the presentation includes the two articles to finish the replacement of the Scott air tanks and the placeholder for $100,000 for station renovation. And that is included in the overall numbers for the increase.
We've actually, the Scott air tank, we've got some new quotes that came in, and it's just enough money for us. We're looking at implementing a newer Scott standard, so it's a higher pressure bottle. Hyannis changed over last year, and Calm is changing over. They've got most of the money now, and they're going for an article at the same time. So we'll all be Calm, us and Hyannis, we'll all be using exactly the same air packs with the same design, same pressures, same safety margins, same everything.
So we need more than the 60?
No, we need to, we're good. We're not
this
asking for any
second
more.
Half.
This is the second
half.
I know, right. I remember that, but I was just.
We're good. We have enough. And it's a new electronic accountability system that Hyannis is using, that Comm is going to as well. So we'll all be on the same page.
But then we still have part of the equipment that's on one aging schedule compared to the other. Right?
It all gets replaced. So all of our tanks and all of our air packs will be replaced. We've got the 60,000 for half of it from last year, which we'll end up ordering it all at the same time.
Okay.
We just funded it separately. We were able to get some borrowed bottles from the companies to get us by. I think 13 of our bottles expired January 1st. Mm-hmm. They gave us some used bottles that now expired July 1st. So it got us through this year, so we didn't have to spend the $60,000. We could wait till the new standard came out, which is good because Calm just made the decision in the last month to switch to what Hyannis has, and we didn't know that till this past week. So now we'll all be on the same page with the same system.
Good.
Okay.
All right, that completes old business. Under new business, we have an item to discuss that involves going into executive session. We are going into executive session under both exemption 1 and 3. And we have legal cases cited for both of those, but they didn't get written on. We are noting the exemption 3, but we're also exemption 1 applies as well.
I think it's primarily 3, right?
Primarily 3.
Are you going to give the union the chance to speak before we go into executive session? Was that the plan?
I was going to invite them to speak during executive session.
Okay. All right.
So I'm making a motion.
Should we read into the minutes the language of? Do we have to do that for the OML?
Exemption 3, to discuss strategy with respect to collective bargaining or litigation, if an open meeting may have a detrimental effect on the bargaining or litigating position of the public body and the chair so declares. And the chair declares. So I'm making a motion to go into executive session.
So moved? Oh, I make a
I do, you second.
Right. You're making the motion?
Yes. You second.
I'm seconding.
Good. I'm in favor.
So am I.
Okay, we are going into executive session. I would ask the members of the public to leave.